This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington, sitting in for Neal Conan. At a rally this morning in Pittsburgh, Senator John Kerry made it official. After months of speculation and second guesses, Kerry, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, named his running mate, a man considered by many to be the people's choice of the Democratic Party.
I have chosen a man who understands and defends the values of America. A man who has shown courage and conviction as a champion for middle-class Americans and for those struggling to reach the middle class. A man who has shown guts and determination and political skill in his own race for the presidency of the United States. A man whose life has prepared him for leadership and whose character brings him to exercise it. I am pleased to announce that with your help, the next Vice President of the United States of America will be Senator John Edwards from North Carolina.
Today we'll talk about John Edwards' political career, what he lends to the ticket, and what could be the drawbacks of his candidacy. We'll check in with Kerry and Bush advocates in the crucial swing state of Ohio to get their reaction to the Edwards pick. And we'll talk about the job of vice president itself. Join the conversation. What do you think of Senator Kerry's decision? How will it help or hurt the Democrat strategy? How much do you know about Edwards? What would you like to hear more about him? Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and the email address totn@npr.org. Joining us here in Studio 3A throughout our discussion will be NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving. Good to have you with us again, Ron.
Pleasure to be with you, Lynn.
Ron, I think of you as a pretty astute political observer, so were you at all surprised by this decision?
I can't say that I was, because I think from March on, John Edwards has been the number one probability to be the vice presidential pick. Now, through the last several weeks, as John Kerry seemed to be stretching this out, people began to doubt that it was going to be Edwards, because Edwards seemed the obvious choice. So if it's taking him so long to decide, why isn't he coming forward with an answer? That must mean he wants somebody other than John Edwards. And I think there's a real possibility he did want someone other than John Edwards. I think it's a pretty open secret that there were overtures made, or there were conversations between him and Arizona Senator John McCain, of course, the Republican, who in the end, and probably from the very beginning, was a Republican and wanted to remain a Republican, and has been quite foursquare about standing with George W. Bush. So that was always a bit of a dream ticket, a bit of a fantasy. And when you came back down to earth, John Kerry had to decide John Edwards was the guy who would help him most.
Why did he have to decide that? Why John Edwards? Why
well,
so obvious?
Obvious in the sense that the rest of the field of candidates all had less to offer in the way of pure popularity, as you said, the popular choice. You heard that wild reaction from the crowd there in Pittsburgh. There were not in North Carolina. And John Edwards is a favorite. He is somebody who has captured, if you will, the imagination in the heart of many Democrats, did that during the primaries, really was the success story of the primaries, because before that process began, few had heard of Howard Dean, few had heard of John Edwards. Most everybody had heard of John Kerry. He was the front runner. So it was less a surprise when he emerged than it was to see John Edwards right on his heels. And you remember all the way back to January, the Iowa caucuses, it's Kerry and Edwards. That's what the headlines were the next day. And oddly enough, surprisingly enough, they were predicting the ticket.
Yeah. What is it that Kerry brings to this campaign? And what is it that Edward brings to this campaign that Kerry has not been able to either articulate or perhaps generate in just in terms of energy and passion?
Well, I think that's it, energy and passion. John Kerry has many attributes. We're not here to discuss the pros and cons of John Kerry today. But one of the things that he brings to a campaign is not passion. He may be quite passionate about his politics, but he does not convey it in the way that, let us say, for example, Bill Clinton was able to do. And quite recently, with the funeral of Ronald Reagan and the autobiography of Bill Clinton, there's been a tremendous recollection of charisma and the role that it can play in the political process. We do not have, at the moment, a great crop of highly charismatic politicians in either major party. There's something of a lack of that. And as a result, people see it, know it when they see it. Ronald Reagan had it. Bill Clinton had it. We have not seen a truly natural politician emerge, I don't think, since Reagan and Clinton. John Edwards might be that person.
Well, it's interesting because it seems to me, I know you said it was back to January that it was Edwards and Kerry, but it seems as though it took a while for people to really catch on to Edwards, though.
But you notice that they caught on in each of the states where it mattered. He campaigned in Iowa, finished a highly surprising second in Iowa. He campaigned in New Hampshire, which was a state, of course, he had very little affinity for, given his political background, and yet did well enough there to survive. He did quite well in Wisconsin, again, far from his own political base. And there really was no other candidate who was withstanding the Kerry juggernaut at that point, so it became a Kerry-Edwards story right through February and March. And when it was clear that Kerry was the winner, Edwards quite graciously and intelligently backed off at exactly the moment when he should have and said, I'm not going to win this thing. John Kerry's the nominee. And, you know, I really like John Kerry.
A good politician. Well, let's bring in a voice from outside the Beltway now. A few months back, we talked about Ohio as a crucial swing state. And we've asked two people from that state to return to the show today to get their sense of the impact of today's news. First, we're going to talk with Jim Ruvolo. He's the chair of the John Kerry campaign in Ohio. And he's joining us by phone from Toledo. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Lynn.
How familiar a figure would you say John Edwards is in Ohio, first of all?
Well, I think among Democrats, he's a very familiar figure. He campaigned hard here. This is where he kind of made his last stand during the primaries, and he made a lot of friends. I think the general public here still needs to meet him, but I'm delighted with his selection on the ticket.
Ron Elving was just saying that Edwards was able to make himself known to voters in the states where it counted in the primaries. Ohio is a state that is really going to count in this election, from what everybody is saying. What does he need to say to Ohioans to make the kind of impact that could make a difference in this?
Well, he touches a nerve when he talks about there's two Americas out there, one of privilege and one of not. And that's going to resonate in Ohio because the economy here is not good. The very wealthy are doing fine, and everybody else is hurting. And I think John Edwards can relate to that. He can talk about it. He can talk about how he and John Kerry are going to make it different. The economy is still a big issue here. John Edwards knew that, talked about it, and can relate to it on a very personal level. He connects with people personally, and that's going to help all of us here in Ohio.
I'm sure you don't want to acknowledge that your candidate has any weaknesses, but let's just say there might be one or two. How might Edwards help Kerry's candidacy in areas where he might not be picking up voters in Ohio?
Well, there's no secret. I mean, John Kerry's a little more cerebral than he is personal. John Edwards is very personable. When people meet him, they like him. Actually, I thought the night of the Iowa caucuses, only people remember is the Dean speech, but the best speech of the night was John Edwards's. He talked from the heart. He had no notes in front of him, and he talked right to people. And that caught my attention and a lot of people's attention. When he comes to Ohio, he's going to be able to relate on a level that few politicians can.
We are talking about John Kerry's choice of Senator John Edwards as his running mate. We're taking your calls at 800-989-TALK. Send us an email at totn@npr.org. We're going to take a call now from Doris, and she's in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Doris.
Hello. How are you this afternoon?
I'm very well. Go right ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk first off. I had heard that some of the Republicans were making an issue out of Edwards and Kerry having a feud during the primaries. And I just have to say that I can remember when Bush and McCain also were having this feud back in 2000, when Mr. Bush had referred to Mr. McCain fathering an illegitimate child. So I think that kind of puts to rest that whole thing. The one reason why I'm voting for Kerry and Edwards in this year is because internationally, I think that we've really been hurt by this administration. Mr. Kerry has the foreign policy experience. He's written a book on terrorism, combating that. He's also lived overseas at one time in his life. His wife was an immigrant herself. So I think this really will resonate to the voters, and I think that they will see there's a difference between somebody that talks the talk and actually walks the walk. And as far as the gentleman in Ohio, when he was talking about the job opportunities, I live in Kentucky, and I can tell you I know of young people today who are graduating from college that are having to work two and three jobs or are having to take jobs as telemarketers, and you think at that point in their lives they would automatically be entitled to a job because they graduated and they have a diploma.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Doris. I'd like to just pick up on one thing Doris said, and that's the experience question. I think Republicans are already trying to jump on the fact that they feel that perhaps John Edwards doesn't have a lot of experience. Jim Ruffolo, is that going to be a problem with this vice presidential candidate?
No, I don't think so. People look at the top of the ticket, and they look at the experience there. And John Kerry, of course, distinguished career, covers all that ground. But John Edwards has been tested also. I mean, he's been a senator. He's been on the Foreign Relations Committee. He knows the world. He knows what we need out there. I also think that the real thing that happened today is John Kerry made his first big decision as a presidential candidate. And it's a good decision. And people are going to look at that and say, you know, he's been tested through the primaries, but he really hadn't made a tough decision. Now he made one. Who's he going to pick as his running mate? When they meet John Edwards, they hear him, they're going to say that was a great decision, and that helps John Kerry.
Right, Alvin, what about this issue of experience? Is Edwards going to be vulnerable on this, do you think?
Well, John Edwards is 51 years old and spent most of his adult years being a trial lawyer. And just the last 6 years, he has been a full-time politician. He didn't come up through the school board and a local office and a House seat or anything of that nature. The first office he ran for was the United States Senate, and he won a seat. And by the end of this year, he will have been there for 6 years, and he's retiring. He's leaving. He's not running for re-election to his seat. Of course, he had the partial reason of running for president, but he had decided he would just serve the one term. So his experience relative to Kerry's, relative to Dick Cheney's, would be rather modest at the national level. On the other hand, President Bush, before he was elected president, had served as governor of Texas for the same period of time, 6 years.
Jim Ruffolo, I've got an email here I'd like you to answer before we take our break, so we'll go into it quickly. It says, I wonder how you feel about the tendency of President Bush and the GOP to attack trial lawyers and whether they will try that argument during the debates.
Well, I absolutely expect it. By the way, the vice presidential debate is in Ohio, in Cleveland on October 6th, and we're looking forward to it. I expect them to make that attack. But John Edwards, when he ran for the Senate in North Carolina, they threw everything at him they could find, and the trial lawyer was number one. And he talked about the cases he handled, the people he helped, and the people of North Carolina elected him to the Senate. I'm not worried about John Edwards' career in this. It can stand all the scrutiny they want to give it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Jim. Jim Ruffolo chairs the John Kerry campaign in Ohio. He joined us by phone from Toledo, Ohio. And just quickly, Ron, Ohio, is it the crucial state in this campaign, do you think?
It may be. And the reason I say it may be is that while it went for Bush last time, and it usually goes with the winner, no Republican has ever been elected president without winning Ohio. And this obviously could change this year. It's certainly numerically possible for George W. Bush to be reelected without winning Ohio. But when you look at some of the other key swing states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and so on, the one that Bush could least, it seems, afford to lose that he did win in 2000 would be Ohio. So for a long time now, for maybe 6 months, a lot of the strategists on both sides have felt that the fulcrum of this election, much as Florida was in 2000, will be Ohio.
We are talking about John Kerry's choice of Senator John Edwards as his running mate. My guest, Ron Elving, will be with us in the studio, and we're taking your calls. 800-989-TALK. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. We're talking about how adding John Edwards to the Democrats' ticket affects the dynamics of this year's presidential election. You're invited to join this discussion. What do you see as Edwards' strengths and weaknesses when competing with Bush Cheney? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. My guest right now, Ron Elving. He is NPR's senior Washington editor. And let's go to the phones now. We've got Carrie in St. Louis, Missouri on the line. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I was wondering, I saw on George Stephanopoulos that John Edwards told him after Stephanopoulos asked him four times whether or not he would accept the vice presidential candidacy if Kerry won the presidential nomination. And I'm wondering if this was just political rhetoric or something else, and could this potentially hurt the campaign if it's targeted in ads?
Ron?
I think it is fair to say that virtually no one who has ever been offered the vice presidency and accepted it has failed at some other time to deny any interest in the office and to swear on his mother's grave that he would never accept it. This is just one of the odd dances of our political system, that no one can run for vice president, no one can admit an interest in the vice presidency, and yet increasingly in our history, this is a golden route to the White House. This is the way people get to the White House. Other than being governor, say, of a major state, there's probably no, well, in fact, even that particular route is not better. Being the vice president is an excellent way to get to be president.
No political damage done.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now, as promised, we are joined by another Buckeye. Congressman Rob Portman represents Ohio's 2nd District and is Ohio Communications Chair for the Bush campaign. He joins us from his office here in Washington. Welcome back to the show, Congressman.
Thanks, Lynn. It's good to be on again.
What's the Republican strategy going to be for tackling the Kerry Edwards ticket?
I don't think the strategy will change in Ohio or elsewhere. I think, if anything, by choosing John Edwards, John Kerry has just shown us in Ohio that he's going to stay to the left. He's going to talk about the need to raise taxes. He's not going to be able to talk about the need to get at the underlying problems in the manufacturing economy, like litigation costs being too high, regulations being too high. And with regard to protectionism, as you know, during the primary, at least, Senator Edwards was out there on an extremely protectionist approach, which is going to hurt Ohio, where we've got strong exports. We're number six now in the country in exports, and our exports have increased dramatically recently. So from an Ohio perspective, I can tell you we are increasing jobs. We have turned the corner. We've created more than 30,000 new jobs in Ohio this year, and we want to keep that up, and we don't want to see taxes increase and litigation costs go up and regulation go up, and we don't think protectionism is the answer. So if anything, Lynn, I think this choice just will reinforce what we're already saying about the Kerry approach versus the approach that President Bush has taken.
Now, we just heard Jim Ruvolo, the chair of the John Kerry campaign in Ohio, say that the economy is going to be a very important issue in this very key state. He seems to think that John Edwards is going to have a message that will respond to Democratic and Republican, hopefully, voters there. Is that the most important issue? What are the issues that are really going to make the difference there, do you think?
Well, I think it is the key issue. I think jobs and the economy is traditionally the key issue, and I don't think it's any different this year. But I think the difference perhaps from even during the Democrat primary and now is that we've turned the corner. You know, we are finally adding jobs, and not just any jobs. We're adding manufacturing jobs. We're beginning to make that transition in Ohio and other key states, other battleground states. And I heard what Jim said at the end of his comments about the two Americas and how that will play so well in Ohio. I don't happen to agree with that, and I don't know that John Edwards is the best spokesperson for talking about, you know, rich versus poor. I think what people want to see is everybody do well, and they want to see jobs coming back, and they are you know, very encouraged with the news that we're getting over the last several months. Our unemployment rate is now down to the national average, 5.6%. This is lower than the average in the 1970s, 1980s, or 1990s on average. We are finally, again, turning the corner and turning things around. And so the idea of raising taxes on small businesses, which is what John Kerry has proposed in essence, and again, the notion that a personal injury lawyer, a trial lawyer who has favored the trial bar and is not for litigation cost containment, that hurts us in Ohio. Same with regulation, same with protectionism. So I think the economy will be big, and I think with this choice, I don't think John Kerry's helped himself. he would have done better, in my own view, not that anybody would listen to me on the Kerry campaign, to choose someone like Dick Gephardt or Evan Bayer, someone who could play more to the middle.
So you as a Republican then are happy with this choice because you think it's a choice that's going to favor your ticket.
Well, I don't know what I'm happy with it. I just think when you look at the ideological balance on this ticket, it's just not there. The National Journal, as you know, rates us all in Congress based on our voting record, and they have said that Senator Kerry is now the most liberal senator in the Senate based on his voting record. Next is Ted Kennedy, next is Mrs. Clinton, and next is John Edwards, number four. And if you look down the line at the issues of importance to Ohioans, the economy we've talked about, but also health care and the social issues and so on, this is really not a balanced ticket as it could have been, again, if Senator Kerry had reached out to somebody more in the middle. So in terms of the politics of it, to answer your first question again, I don't think it changes our strategy, but I do think it only confirms that this is going to be sort of a classic battle with two different views of which direction the country ought to go in terms of the economy, in terms of social issues, in terms of the war against terrorism, and it'll be a pretty stark choice.
All right, Congressman Portman, let's see if we can get one call in here before you have to go.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Gary in Buffalo, New York.
Yes, hey, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Actually, I just have a question. I wonder if both of your guests could critique the debating skills of both of the vice presidential candidates and maybe summarize what we might expect on the debate on October 6th. I, for one, am very interested to see it.
Congressman Portman?
Well, Gary, that's a interesting question. I think it's fair to say, and I want to hear Ron's view on this, that then Secretary Cheney, you know, in his private life, was underestimated. People thought that Joe Lieberman, a sitting senator, would best him in the debate. In fact, that did not happen. If anything, the polls afterwards indicated that it was a boost for the Bush ticket and for the vice presidential candidate himself, Mr. Cheney. So I think Cheney will again choose he'll prove to be a good debater, a solid debater. I have not had an opportunity to see Mr. Edwards in any of his debates. I assume he had debates in his Senate race. As you know, he hasn't even served a full term in the U.S. Senate yet, so he's a little less tested, whereas Cheney served over 10 years in the House, was in the House leadership, was Secretary of Defense and Chief of Staff at the White House, so has a lot more experience. So I think it'll be interesting. I think the styles will probably be very different, but I'd like to hear Ron's view.
Ron, go ahead.
I would say that Dick Cheney in 2000 surprised a lot of people. He did not try to match Lieberman in terms of footwork, but expectations to one side, he had much the better of that debate. I thought he had the attitude of someone who was much more sure of himself and confident, and Lieberman's attempts to be jocular and friendly to him, while not rebuffed, were not really effective. So I would agree with the congressman that Cheney got much the better of that exchange, and it did not help the situation where Gore was also not fulfilling his expectations in the debates with George W. Bush. As for this fall, I would expect that the Edwards and Kerry people will study that Cheney-Lieberman debate quite carefully and try to analyze how it was that Dick Cheney managed to be quite so successful and see what they might do to strategize differently.
All right. Congressman Portman, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on, Lynn.
Congressman Rob Portman represents Ohio's 2nd District. He is also the communications chair for the Bush campaign in Ohio. He joined us on the phone from his office in Washington. Ron, I wanted to follow up on something that the congressman said. He seemed to be saying that, the Democrats would have been wiser to have chosen a candidate more from the center. How valid is that?
Well, one has to wonder how from the center Dick Gephardt would have been characterized had he been the choice. I doubt the Republicans would be lionizing him at this moment as a man of the center. But it certainly would have been possible to find another senator or a member of the House or a governor who had more of a reputation as being a centrist. But I don't think John Edwards is thought of particularly as an ideological figure or as somebody who has an awfully strong ideological point of view. He likes to put himself forward as a populist, and he likes to talk about himself as a champion of the little guy. And I don't think that that necessarily, while it can have an ideological edge, would be exclusively thought of as the property of the left. So they may have a little trouble making that stick. They'll make it stick on John Kerry, I suspect, but it'll be a little tougher with Edwards because of his style and because on some issues he cuts against the grain.
We, of course, have been focusing so far on Ohio because it's considered such a crucial state in this election. But John Edwards is from the South, and we have an email here addressing that fact. Dear Talk of the Nation, even though the Civil War was over almost 150 years ago, the South will not vote for a Yankee. I think this was a brilliant move because you can't be a president without the South vote, from Rachel in Louisville. And that, of course, has to be part of the reason that Edwards was chosen. And will it really make a difference in the South, or is it just too solidly Republican?
Well, Al Gore won the popular vote and almost won the presidency in 2000 without carrying a single state in the South, not one of the 11 states of the Confederacy, nor Oklahoma and Kentucky, which a lot of us attach to the South. He went 0 for 13, so Kerry can't do any worse than that. Edwards, at least, I think, gives him a shot in North Carolina. It would still be a long shot, but at least he has some attempt there. Whereas perhaps Louisiana, Arkansas, a couple of the other states that did vote for Bill Clinton at least once might be more in play. Even Tennessee might be more in play, given that John Edwards can campaign there, speak the language, walk the walk, and show a certain empathy with that community.
What about Florida?
Florida is a little separate. While it is, of course, in the South and officially part of the South, more and more of the people who live there grew up elsewhere in the country or elsewhere in other countries. And those people can be reached in other ways. I think Florida would have been competitive regardless of this choice.
All right, let's take a call now from Lawrence in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Lawrence.
Thank you for the opportunity. And I'm going to make a quick comment, look for input, and then I'll hang up and listen on air.
Okay.
As a Black, I'm sadly disappointed that the party that espouses inclusion and diversity could not find a Black or a Hispanic or a female or somebody not along the same lines as a white Caucasian male to be a party ticket. So I'll just hang up and hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Ron?
I think that's a widely shared disappointment. The Democratic Party, while it obviously gets a disproportionate amount, or number rather, of the African-American votes and somewhat less disproportionate number of the Hispanic votes, and counts on those votes absolutely to be victorious, not only in the national elections but in many statewide elections, has not been very good at coming up with people and promoting people and moving them up the ladder in such a way that they could get onto the ticket. This particular year, there's been rather less talk about that because there wasn't an obvious contender, a Jesse Jackson figure or someone of that nature. I suspect there will be in the next couple of years. I think there will be a woman Democratic candidate for president in the next few years. And I suspect that there will be an African-American and a Hispanic-American on the national ticket in the next 10 years. But it's not happening this year.
And there's still that feeling in the Democratic Party that they can count on the African-American vote, the Hispanic vote perhaps less so?
That's pretty much the case. And if it's not the case in November that they can count on it, I think their chances of winning are pretty much zero.
If you would like to join our discussion on the John Edwards candidacy for the vice president, which was announced by John Kerry today, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Joining us now to talk about the role of vice president and how it's changed over time is Paul Light. He's a professor of public service at New York University and author of Vice Presidential Power, Advice and Influence in the White House. He joins us here in Studio 3A. Good to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
Now, by picking Edwards, Kerry now has a senator ticket. And that's the first time since 1960, is that right? Any comparisons to be made between this ticket and the 1960 ticket, the Kennedy-Johnson ticket?
Not that I know. I mean, it was a northern-southern combination, but I don't think this one was designed to have the traditional geographic or ideological balance. I think that Edwards was always a front runner. He's got a high wattage personality, and I think he wears well. So we'll see.
And in terms of the Democratic strategy, seems to be a good choice just from what we know historically?
You know, historically, the first rule of picking a vice president is first do no harm, and he certainly does no harm. He might do some good. Ron's been very persuasive on that point. And I think that he does have a compare and contrast style with Dick Cheney in the debates. We'll see how it handles. I mean, you know, Edwards has a very high wattage kind of charisma. It hasn't done well in debates in the past, but he's got a long time to learn and practice, and believe me, they probably started practicing today.
You know, we've got an email here speaking to one aspect, I guess, of that charisma, and this says, When it comes down to it, John Edwards is hot. What better way to get the female swing voters?
I don't view him as hot, but he's awfully charming, and I think well-schooled over the next 12 weeks will do very well in the fall. I think that they'll work with him quite closely. He's gotten better as a campaigner every day of the campaign, and I think he'll improve.
Now, Ron said something earlier that I wanted you to talk about a bit in terms of a historic view of the role of vice president. Ron was saying that certainly in recent years, it's been a good political stepping stone for politicians, but that has not always been the case.
Oh, goodness, no. It's also become a very important job to the United States. I mean, it used to be a disappearing act for most vice presidents. Hubert Humphrey once compared being vice president to standing naked in a blizzard with nothing but a match to keep you warm. But it started changing under Nelson Rockefeller, changed more under Mondale, and became a very significant job. Nobody's going to repeat Dick Cheney's role in the vice presidency, where he's been a mentor and a tutor, a legitimizer. I mean, that's not Edwards' job, but he'll do well in an office that has become quite significant over the last 30 years.
Significant in what way? What is the modern vice presidency entail that didn't used to be the case?
It's the senior most important, in many aspects, policy advisory job in the White House. The vice president controls a very large staff now. The word around the streets here is that Dick Cheney may have as many as 100 to 130 national security staffers alone. I don't know whether that's urban legend or not, but the vice president has a very large staff, has perquisites of office, has some very meaningful assignments, and also has the very close personal relationship and sees all the paper coming in and out of the White House. The West Wing office, you know, the ordinary perquisites that come with entry into the West Wing, that's changed the job to a significant advisory job. So the vice president has all the opportunity to influence the president. Whether the vice president actually persuades the president depends on the personal relationship.
Yeah, and in this case right now, we have a very strong vice president, but isn't that also dependent on that personality, that
specific absolutely.
Person?
We will never repeat Dick Cheney's role, not in my political lifetime. I mean, the needs were different. John Kerry doesn't need a vice president who's going to step forward and say John Kerry's up to the job. So Cheney was in a very different role. He's had some traditional vice presidential responsibilities, but Edwards will play a fairly traditional vice presidential role, which in my mind means a fairly significant job.
When we come back from a short break, we're going to continue talking about the addition of Senator John Edwards to the Democratic ticket. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from HP. With the help of HP services and technology, the world's dynamic companies face, manage, and love change. HP. Invent. From Novo Nordisk, working to improve diabetes treatment in the U.S. For 80 years, diabetes care has been our passion, not just our business. And from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, supporting families and neighborhoods by funding initiatives aimed at helping disadvantaged children. On the web at aecf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
It's easy to leave your possessions to your children, but how do you make sure you leave them your values? I'm Lynn Neary. More and more people are putting life's lessons into writing so they can be passed on. Ethical Wills, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Always outspoken, Bill Cosby's recent comments directed toward the African-American community have really gotten people talking. Tomorrow, what he said and why he's kicking up so much controversy. Today, we're talking about John Edwards' effect on the Democratic ticket. Join the conversation. Call us at 800-989-8255. And our email address is totn@npr.org. My guests are Ron Elving. He is NPR's senior Washington editor, and Paul Light, senior fellow at Brookings Institution. Give us a call again at 1-800-989-8255. And let's take a caller from Reidsville, North Carolina. David, you're on the line. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to brush over these real quickly. I'll try to be brief, but I was in Wrightsville Beach this weekend. Of course, John Edwards was there, and I was reading the local paper, and one of the beachcombers hollered out, welcome to North Carolina, Senator. I think, I'm not real sure of his popularity in North Carolina. I don't know if his loyalty has been that strong. Also, you know, there's a lot of working people, police officers, nurses, doctors, business people, that have to live with the fear of civil liability on a daily basis. I'm just not sure how well this will go over with the American people that have to deal with this type of concern on a regular basis. And also, as far as his experience, when compared to Richard Cheney, it's just really no comparison. The resume's kind of thin there. But I'll take my comments off the air. I was going to be brief, as I promised.
I'm just wondering, David, are you a Republican or a Democrat?
You probably figure that one out, but yes, I am a Republican, but I do try to vote for the person and be open-minded. So I am open to, you know, voting for a Democrat.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, David.
Thank you.
Ron Elda David seems to be saying that he's not sure this is going to help the Democratic ticket in North Carolina and perhaps in the South. We've talked about that a little bit already, but I don't know if you want to comment at all on what David had to say.
Well, I think he's quite right that it is not a certainty that had he chosen to run for reelection, John Edwards would have been reelected to the Senate this fall. He had to look at the fact that no one's been able to hold that particular seat in North Carolina for more than one term since back in Sam Irvin's days in the 1970s. And his polls indicated it would be a tough and tight race. So he obviously directed his attention elsewhere and got into the presidential race. Still, having said that, it's a little bit different question when you ask North Carolinians, do you want to promote this fellow to vice president? And do you want to have a North Carolinian a heartbeat away from the presidency? And that's a little bit different political calculation for them, brings a different energy and opposes him to a different person. Now, experience, were that the only criterion, obviously John Edwards would lose every time to Dick Cheney. But there are going to be a lot of other questions, and Dick Cheney has become something of a lightning rod figure in this administration. He may be the strongest vice president we've ever had, but there's a downside to that mm-hmm. in an administration where not everything has gone as planned, and he is very closely associated with the entire Iraq episode, and wherever that goes between now and November will have a lot of influence on how people see Cheney versus Edwards next
October. He's been a bit testy of late publicly as well.
More than a bit. And his image, I think, is being reevaluated on that basis.
All right, let's take a call from Avery in San Francisco. Hi, Avery.
Hi, glad to get on. Thank you. I am a bit of an activist Democrat, a Dean Democrat, and I volunteered for Dean for the past year. And I just wanted to say that I'm thrilled with with Kerry's choice of Edwards. It's been difficult for me to get excited about Kerry, even though I'm very excited about defeating Bush. And adding Edwards to the ticket changes that for me to feeling some passion for the ticket more than I felt passion for just Kerry. It sort of changes the dynamic for me. And I'm already actively wearing my No Bush button, but this can get me to wear my Kerry Edwards button. And the Republican who was on who talked about the choice of Gephardt, that would have really, I think, hurt Kerry's chances because Kerry and Gephardt would be a pretty boring ticket, frankly, and Kerry Edwards is a pretty exciting ticket. So I, as an, you know, kind of a Democrat activist, am excited about what I think that's going to do for getting people out there to get the vote out to defeat this administration. And so that's my take on all of this.
All right. Thanks for your call, Avery. I think that the Democratic committee would be very happy to hear that kind of reaction at this point. Paul Light, I wonder if you can just talk a little bit historically about the effect that a really good vice presidential candidate can have on an election. I mean, clearly the calculation here is that John Edwards is going to add that punch, that passion to the campaign that perhaps will be just what's needed to maybe get the 1% that will win this election. Can you think of any other sort of historical precedent like that?
Well, you used the word really good vice presidential candidate. Really bad candidates have done a lot of damage. So let's take them out of the calculus. I mean, political scientists, being scientists of a kind, estimate that a vice presidential candidate might add, in a good year, 1 to 1.5% to the national vote total of the ticket. I mean, there is some swing there, and a candidate can force the redeployment of resources. I mean, Bush will have to contest North Carolina more aggressively now than he would have. He might have to contest some other southern states. That's why Dukakis picked Benson, in a sense, forced the first Bush re-election campaign to go south, or first campaign to go south and try to defend its base. This election is not going to swing on John Edwards' choice. It's just not, unless there's something terrible that the vetters did not get to in the past 6-12 weeks that they've had to look at John Edwards in detail. So it's an important choice. It's not the great, great choice that defines a candidate as being tough enough to go to war or tough enough to avoid war, but it's an important choice, and it reveals a little bit about John Kerry's character and gives a little bit more flavor to the campaign. And, you know, it might move votes percent and a half, and in this election, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I was going to ask that of you, Ron Elving, if a percent and a half in this election may be what we're talking about here.
It would have looked huge in November of 2000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And depending on where it's distributed, of course, it doesn't matter if you add or subtract a percentage of the vote. And you concentrate it in states where one candidate or the other is winning handily. But if you could take 1% of the national vote and put it down in Ohio and Florida, that would make an enormous difference.
Yeah.